It's a long book, but I believe in getting every bit of meat out of it that we can while we're going through it. Because what I'm discovering is Genesis applies today. It applies for Jesus, who he was, and we can see Jesus in the Old Testament because he was. Remember, he said that they were and they created. So he's been from the beginning, and tonight I just love how the Lord shows up for the word that we need at the right time. So let's begin reading at verse 8. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden to the east. Now, we know that God's made man. He's going to make the garden, and he's going to make some rivers. Okay, these are three things that are definite, okay? And in the east, and he placed in the garden the man he had formed. The Lord God planted all sorts of beautiful trees there in the garden, trees producing the choicest of fruit. And at the center of the garden, he placed the tree of life and also the tree of conscience, giving knowledge of good and bad. We'll talk about that more next week. A river from the land of Eden flowed through the garden to water it afterwards. The river divided into four branches. And one of these was named Pishon, and its winds across the entire length of the land of Havilah, where nuggets of pure gold are found, also beautiful bedlam, and even lapis, which is really the onyx stone. And the second branch that came off of this river was Gibbon, and across the entire place of the land of Cush. And the third branch is the Tigris, which flows to the east of the city of Asher, and the fourth is Euphrates. And the Lord God placed the man in the garden as its gardener to tend and care for it. We're going to get into that next week. But tonight, I want to talk to you about life-giving through spirit living. So why don't you help me with this? Our text tonight is out of John 3:38. You can follow, if you want to take notes, you can follow with the PowerPoint, or you can follow on your notes that you have. It says, "Believe in me so that rivers of living water will burst out from within you, flowing from your innermost being, just like the scriptures say." So that's the New Testament backing up what the Old Testament is saying. He's telling us. So who would like to tell me tonight, what are some good benefits of water? Hydration. Helps things grow. Yeah, take a bath, cleaning, wash your dishes, yeah. Someone else? Sorry? Yes, it's healthy for you. Bodies are made of water. In fact, our body is 90% weight. 90% of our weight is water. That's why everybody wants to take these water pills, okay? But 60% of water is in the brain. The heart has 73% water. The lungs are 83% water. Your muscles and kidneys are 79% water. And your skin is 64% water. So, yeah. So, man, that's why after people, you know, die, there's not much to a skeleton, right? That's kind of where you are. All right, who knows something else? Mm-hmm. Good benefit of water. It gives life to all beings. That's right. And it takes a form needed to overcome any obstacle. It can be gas. It can be liquid. It can be solid. It's pliable. And water is also something that prevents toxins and pollutions. And in the body, we go to the bathroom, right? And we sweat. That's how we get toxins out of our body. So those are all things that water does. And even in a stream, when a stream is flowing and not stagnant, it gets rid of toxins. It just knocks them out of the way. Have you ever seen these rivers right now in Jackson, Mississippi, where it's all flowing over, and these giant trees are just being uprooted like toothpicks and taken on down the way? Because water has a real force to it. What are some things that happen when there's a lack of water? The opposite.
Dehydration.
She got it in. Yep. Where there's a lack of water, things begin to die, right? Because all things, as Christina said, come from, the life comes from water. So we want to look briefly tonight at the rivers mentioned in Genesis 8, 2, 8 through 14. And I want to relate this to some basic provision in the natural and the significance in the supernatural. First of all, the tree of life that he gave was set up by the rivers. And I told you we'll go over that next week, but we are going to be looking in the New Testament if you want to keep your Bibles or your phone Bible app on silent so you can follow along. Pishon actually was in the land of Havilah. Now, for women, you will know that there's a special product that's brought in from Havilah, however you want to say it, and it's a mud product. And they use it on their skin because it's so rich in nutrients, and they actually use this on burn victims. But that word actually means leaping, like it was a jumping water. Kind of reminds me of how you see salmon, you know, in the water. It was kind of leaping. That's the name for that. And we also know that this land was filled with gold and with onyx, and those things are still true today in that land. But the river's not there, okay? So remember, I've already told you, the Bible is not a scientific book to prove science. It's not a geographic book to prove geologically how things happen. But science and geology will prove the Bible. It's just a fact. I read, I don't know if any of you read it, yesterday or the day before, where they found this ghost DNA. And, you know, we've already talked about evolution. Guys, they're still trying to put stuff together. They scraped something off a cave in Europe, and they're saying that like a caveman, Neanderthal, got with the next guy, you know, and they've made this, you know, girl, and so they have all this. Listen, if that's true, then people didn't evolve. They intermarried. I mean, I don't get some of their thinking on some of this stuff. To me, they're disproving what they've said. But it's a ghost DNA. It can't be explained. And that's the thing you need to remember. There are things in the Bible that nobody's ever going to explain. But if we study our word, it becomes clear to us if it's important. So this river was lost along, and it ran with the garden. And today, geographically, we would say that's Arabia, where this river was. Now, the Gihon means to break out. And it's possible that this one was the actual one that was leading Adam and Eve when they left the Garden of Eden, because it actually means to break out or the outbreak. So, you know, you've seen in Western times and all those movies where they, the pioneers and everyone else, what did they follow? The river, because they needed life. They needed a life support system. So this is actually believed to be the river that Adam and Eve followed that led them out of the garden. And while I'm at that, let me just say in Genesis 1:28, and we're going to get into this more next week, but I wanted to remind you that that scripture said God already told them, this was before Eve, God said, fill the earth, and so it was never intended for them to stay there, because he told them, I want you to fill the earth. So a lot of times people make it like, because of Adam and Eve, they had to leave the garden. They were going to leave the garden. The earth was intended to be full and beautiful in a place, but the presence of God was in the Garden of Eden. So we'll get into some of those things later. The Tigris, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce this. The actual Hebrew word is H-I-D-D-E-Q-E-L. And the Tigris was in Assyria. That actual exact word from the Hebrews recorded in Daniel 10:4. So we still have the Tigris River. You've heard of that today. And the fourth one you've heard of is the Euphrates. So we know that God made man. He made the garden, and he made the rivers. He made them purposeful, and he made them beautiful. And Genesis 7:11 says that the water covered the earth for a year and a half during the flood. So when people say, where are those rivers today? Number one, just the forms and shape of the earth change over time. But because the flood, we know in Genesis 7:11, was a year and a half, that whole flood changed the face of the earth and the way things were. So we believe that the first two rivers were changed at that point. But you got to remember, I think God, I know God is smart. And I believe if we had access to all those rivers, which explorers today have tried to find the Garden of Eden and pinpoint it, I believe that if those rivers existed, because that was the fountainhead where the one river turned into four, I believe people would do that. That's all they're doing is seeking those things. And thankfully, they haven't found the Garden of Eden, because can you imagine what it would look like today if man had found it? I saw this week where someone had actually defaced the Plymouth Rock and the statues around it with red paint and just made it look horrible. So they had to go in and clean it up. There's no respect. Where there's no love of God, there's not going to be respect. Moving on. So we know this. So again, we don't want to use the Word of God to argue with people, but the Word of God is going to prove true. Science will prove it, and they already have. So the eternal water wasn't coming out of Eden where man and elements could affect it and control it. The actual eternal water that he's talking about proceeds out of the throne of God. And that's Revelations 22:1. So we've talked about the rivers. We've talked about the natural importance of water. We know that the ground needs the water. Have you ever seen, maybe you've even tried to work with ground that has no water? It is hard as cement. So if you're going to plant and till and anything's going to come up through it, you're going to need water to bring life into that dust. And there's a saying that says, if you pray, expect some mud. Because, you know, when you start praying and you start trusting the Lord, if the enemy's had you, he's going to go after what he's had. But he doesn't own you. Stand firm. We had that one last week. So it also brings then the plants. The plants have to have water to live. The animals have to have water to live. And many of them need the plants to live. And man needs plants and animals to live. So every living thing needs water. Now we want to look at the significance with the spiritual importance of water. These words are symbolic, okay? And sometimes we get caught up in what Steve calls Christianese, and it scares people because they don't understand anything. Well, Sunday we had a visitor, and they hadn't been in church in a very long time. And so I said, did we scare you? Oh, yes. And that did not offend me at all, because we're not staunch, quiet, reserved, suit and tie church. There's a place for that. And those who need it, praise God that it's there for them. But we are interactive, relational with God. So, man, when we feel like shout to the Lord, you know, it's like, you know, we always say, you feel good when you shout it out for the Cowboys. You feel good when the Rangers are winning. Man, you feel good when your kid hits that home run or something wonderful. It's a release, and yet it is a spiritual fulfillment too. So don't ever be ashamed of that, okay? Let's look at the symbolism here. First of all, the water is represented in God's Word, and the water is represented in the Holy Spirit. And the water is prophesied by Jesus as the gift of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at just a couple of scriptures, and they're on your paper as well. The Word, Ephesians 5:26 says, it came to make us holy and pure, cleansing us through the showering of the pure water of the Word of God. Listen, God's Word is not full of additives. It's just plain. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. That's pretty plain. He says that he's died for you. His sins, our sins, were covered by the blood of Jesus. So it's just pretty plain, but it's the world and the enemy that wants to make it so hard to understand. And listen, when my grandkids are in front of me, if they say I love you, we're done, right? God's word is saying that he loves you, but the enemy puts you in a position where you have to earn that love, or he puts you in a place where you want to judge other people. And I just want you to know, I'm sorry that the church ever became the judgment seat of the world. That is not what Christian Center is, because that is not what the Word of God is. We are judged righteous because of the blood of Jesus. And we're not to hold anyone else's sin against them, nor are we to hold our sin against ourselves when we bring it to the Lord. Well, what are you saying, Gay? Let's just all have a big party? No, I'm saying that we should keep ourselves from the things of the world that would cause the water and the flow to shut off. Because as soon as you fall in love with the world, one of the first things, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the first things that'll go is your time with the Lord. You'll become involved in these other things, and you'll, oh, I don't really need to read that. I'll catch that up. How many times have we said that, and then we find ourselves in a dry desert because there is no word? Then the Holy Spirit, John 7:38, he says, then on the most important day of the feast, the last day, Jesus stood around and shouted out to the crowds, all you thirsty ones, come to me and drink. Believe in me so that rivers of living water will burst out from within you, flowing from your innermost being, just like the scripture says. And Jesus was prophesying about the Holy Spirit that believers were being prepared to receive. But the Holy Spirit had not yet been poured out upon them because Jesus had not yet been unveiled in his full splendor. While Jesus was here, the Holy Spirit wasn't in us. When he left, he said, I'm going to go and I'm going to bring you a comforter, and he's going to be a counselor. So what we see here is that the water is not just about the Word of God, but it's about the Spirit of God. So here's Jesus in John 4:14. So there's this Samaritan woman, and they were the people that were looked down on. And in fact, in the Passion Translation, I believe she said, I should be disgusting to you. But Jesus goes in, and he's tired. Listen, Jesus does everything on purpose. And he went to that well because he knew who was there. And it was an odd time of the day. And we know that she probably went there in an odd time because she didn't want to see anybody. Because Jesus is going to read her mail, and it wasn't something you want to write home about. But Jesus never reveals something to you to criticize you. He reveals things to you to set you free. And I want to tell you, that's one of the biggest lies of the enemy. When God brings you up close and you see things about yourself, the first thing the enemy does is say, look at that. That's horrible. But when God says, hey, to me, Gay, here's something we need to work on, it's because he wants to free me from the thing that has bound me and caused a division between me and him. Okay? So he goes in, and he's thirsty because they've been walking. They didn't have cars, so they're walking. So he's thirsty, and he sits down in this well, and this woman comes up. And she's got her water jar. You've seen those pictures where they carry them on their shoulder or sometimes on their head. So she's got this water jar, and she's coming to get the water. And Jesus said, would you give me a drink? And she's like, me? You're a Jew. I'm this Samaritan. Why would you ask me for something? He says, because I'm thirsty. Guys, that is so beautiful that Jesus Christ would say to you and me, just as we are, I am thirsty for your fellowship. Isn't that beautiful? Do you know he has need of us? Not because we're the ones who can create, but because we are the vessel of the Creator. And just like we talked about our kids earlier, you want that love. You want that fellowship. You want that, not because you can't live without it, but because your life is wrapped up in love. And it just feeds your soul. So he comes into her and he wants to fellowship with her. She says, well, you know, who am I? And so he says this to her. If anyone drinks the living water I give them, they will never thirst again and will be forever satisfied. For when you drink the water I give you, it becomes a gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit springing up and flooding you with endless life. I want to read this from the Passion Translation. It says, believe in me. When he says in that scripture, for when you drink this water, have you ever heard people say, oh, they drank the Kool-Aid? That means they believe in something. So he's saying, when you believe in me, that the rivers of living waters will burst out from within you, flowing from your innermost being, just like the scripture says. The root word there is the same word as the River Jordan, which means flowing. And I want to tell you something. When you drink from Jesus, you're not going to be stagnant. It will flow through you, life. I cannot tell you. Can I just get a witness to this? How many times a day that I consult him and that I need his input and that I don't just hear like, you will go to the grocery store. I don't hear that. But what I do hear is, hey, look at that person. Let's encourage them today, Gay. Or, hey, instead of going to the grocery store, have you called? Yeah, go to the grocery store. And when you're there, pick up and do, right? Because we have this communion together. And I can't tell you how many times I've even driven and forgotten something and go, oh, I'm just an idiot. And it's like the Lord will say to me, oh, you don't think I'm in control of how you're driving? You don't think I know the route to save you from something? You don't think I know how to prevent you from being at a place like the bingo hall at the wrong time? Yes, he does, friends. Yes, he does, because we need to listen to him. So it also says that rivers of living waters will flow within his throne. He's talking about the things that come down from God are coming down in ways, and they're going to move in our life. Also, you're going to see this in Isaiah 44:3. Isaiah 55:1, Isaiah 58:11, Ezekiel 47:1, and we're going to look at Revelation 22:1 in just a little bit. But whatever you get from God, a drink becomes a river. A little becomes a lot. How many times have we just thought all these things that we need, and once you get them, you're so burdened by them and having to keep all the plates spinning to keep everything you thought you wanted? Let me just share with you from old age. Now, I'm not real old, but I'm confessing nothing. But I'm at a place in my life where, you know, when Steve and I moved in this house, I didn't want to cover every wall with pictures. I didn't want junk drawers overflowing. I didn't want all that stuff. One, I've had to clean my parents' home after they passed. I don't want to do that to my kids. You know, dear Lord, Wonder Bread was probably out of wrappers because of my mom and those little twisty ties. Okay? Whatever it was for, I understand, you know, there was a purpose back. But what I want you to understand is if you have a little, it becomes a lot. How many of you have ever just heard one sentence on the radio of someone saying something about a devotion and it just spoke volumes to your heart? Have you ever just read a little, you know, they have these bite-sized like appetizer devotions now, and you can just read a line or two and you're just like, oh God, that was just what I needed. Or, you know, it's because one little thing opens up a whole river. And the reason we need the river to come from our heart is because the word says that the heart is wicked and it can be deceived. And I want to tell you something. The enemy can use the thoughts of your heart to make you feel like you're doing good, but you're not doing God if it's not in his word. So the belly, the innermost, the heart of the believer. Remember, he's talking to a believer. Matthew 15:19 says, from the heart come evil thoughts. Mark 7:21 says the same thing. Psalms 27:8 says, seek my face. My heart says, I'm coming, Lord. Seek my face means come and talk with me. If Annette and I want to do a face-to-face, if you want to do a FaceTime on your phone, what does that mean? You want to interact with someone face-to-face. It doesn't just mean like the Wizard of Oz, I'm seeking this big moon face. It means, Lord, I just want to sit and visit with you. How many of you remember when Steve puts the two chairs there with the little donuts in one chair, and he has two donuts, and he says, this one donut's for me, and the other one's for God, and we just sit and talk while we have a donut and coffee? And then at the end of it, he'll say, God, do you want to eat that, or can I have it? You heard that story? That's how it is. It's a face-to-face thing. And what we try to do is bypass God. Stay with me. And if we're not with people who are serving God and who know His Word, the guide, the roadmap to victory, to success, to everything that's going to prove right and true in your life, you know what people are going to do? They're going to try to get you caught up in drama. They're going to work you into anger. Because the passion of this world is hatred. The passion of this world is to stir up strife because it feels good to my flesh. Anybody relate to that? And people, who wants to be around that, right? It's oppressive. But we still have to love, but we shouldn't get caught up in that. So here we are, people who are trying to seek the face of God, and we're trying to stay in our peace and in our joy, which are the places where He says, if you're rooted and planted, we talked about last week, you're going to produce life. And according to Ephesians 3:20, it's not just going to be life, but it's life abundant. So we come in here now to Numbers 21:17, and He says, spring up, O well, within my soul. Now, I want to go back and I want to read something to you out of that particular place in John where they're at the well, and I think this is important. And next week, we have to tell them to leave the front row lights on. So, Jesus is saying to her, He says, the time is coming, ma'am, when we'll no longer be concerned about whether to worship the Father here or in Jerusalem. She's letting Him know what the Samaritan way is. I want to give you just a little nugget. There are people who serve Jesus in different ways, but as long as they're calling on the name of Jesus, don't judge how they worship. Judge them not, but love them and find the common denominator of Jesus. Because I'm telling you something. I've seen people who climbed under pews, but they were changed when they got up. And I'm not going to judge that. And I've seen people at this altar right here in this church be so filled with the anointing of God that literally drug habits stopped that day. I've seen it. I've seen people who were so bound in hatred for themselves or someone else that by the time the love of God washed over him and that living water got in there, they didn't care about anything else because they felt so good and were so at peace. So she's like, well, you worship this way, I worship this way, we're different. And he's telling her, no, when you come face to face with me, we're the same. Because I'm a Jew, I know about this with the Father. But he's telling her a better way. And the woman said, well, at least I know that the Messiah will come, the one they call Christ. And when he does, he will explain everything to us. He's right there in front of her and she doesn't even know it. How many times have we had something come in our life and we don't even recognize it's the power of God and someone is speaking life to us? I love this about little children. I think sometimes they say the most profound things because they're innocent. And they'll say, "That you were mean. You were mean, right?" And yet, we come in and we sit with Jesus and he's saying things to us. Well, that's mean. If he wants you to give up something, think of yourself with your children. I'm not asking them to give up anything that's beneficial. Only the things that are going to hurt them. And only, probably, because I know and I want to save them some of my scars. And here's where the story continues. And just then, his disciples said, excuse me. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Now, what I didn't read to you was she's sitting there and she's with him. And he says, you know, she says, I have to go, whatever. And he says, yeah, because, you know, the man you're with isn't even your husband. And she's like, what? I perceive you're a prophet, right? She's going to accept him as a prophet. But she's got to learn that he's a Lord. This word is filled with prophecy. But we don't want him just because he's going to tell us how the end time is going to come out. I want him because he's alive and real, and he talks to me, and the living water that he's provided flows from the throne room of God through the Holy Spirit to me. And this is what he said. Then his disciples came, and they're surprised to find him talking to a woman, but none of them ask him why or even what he'd been discussing. This is the most important line in this story to me. Then the woman left her water jar beside the well and went back to the village and told everyone. You know why that's most important to me? Because we come thinking we need something in the natural to fill our needs. And once we meet the spiritual thing that feeds not just my need for what I'm going to need, God is going to provide that for that woman, water. Literal physical water. But he has given her something in not judging her for what she's done, but neither asking her to return to it when he says, just go and sin no more. Right? So she left the very thing that she went with. I think we come to him with a mission for something from the world, and he wants to leave whatever it is, the container that we've got that we're filling with the world, to leave it and go tell who he is, and others will be saved and set free because of who he is. So, man, she comes through this. So there's the tree of life set up from the rivers. We studied those. We studied the importance of the rivers. We've looked at the spiritual meaning of the rivers. But how do we know we're spiritually in trouble? How do we know when we're spiritually in trouble? Man, am I the only one who can get on autopilot? And then all of a sudden, let's just look at a plant. Everything looks good on the outside, but on the inside, I'm dry. What were the things that we said was one of the worst things that happens when you don't have water, Red? Dehydration. So tonight, we're going to look in the natural at dehydration for just a minute. Here are some signs of dehydration. Thirst. You want something. When you're thirsty, I don't know about you, but unless I'm by a water fountain or I'm out somewhere and I have a bottle of water, I generally don't think, man, I want water. I'm going to tell you, my go-to is coffee. I don't care what time of the year it is, I'm like a coffee girl. But coffee is not going to do what water's going to do. But I like it. It tastes good. It makes me feel good. 3 to 4 in the afternoon, I want a cup of coffee. And sometimes I want tea that has like a spice, like a cinnamon to it, an herbal tea, because it like fills my sweet tooth. And that's okay because it's herbal, so I know that I'm going to get the benefit of the water. But science has proven what the Bible said, that there is nothing like fresh, flowing water to hydrate and bring life back into your body. So we get thirsty. There was this movie, I think it was called An American President, and I will never forget this line. Michael J. Fox is talking to Michael Douglas about this president's in trouble with something he's done. And he said, when the people are so thirsty, they'll drink the sand. I just thought, man, if I ever heard the devil line, that was it. You're so thirsty. Let me give you this. Let's just try filling it with this. Don't raise your hand or act like you know what I'm talking about. But how many people know that you can go and get what you think you need? I'm going to get water because I'm fixing to cough, not because I'm thirsty. But how many of you know that there's always going to be somebody to tell you what's going to fill that void? Well, this is what you need. If you just had a little bit of this, man, you'd be all right. Guys, can I just tell you something? Why don't you add up what that little bit of something's costing you? Like, seriously, over a week, over a month, over a year, over your lifetime. Like, if I ring up my Dollar Tree receipts, I'm going to be embarrassed. Okay? You know, shopping therapy or whatever, even at the Dollar Tree, right? And I'm telling you this because here's the problem. Once you use that to fill the void, are you satisfied with just what you started with? No. We always want more. But with the living water, man, that's free. So another sign of dehydration is toxins building up. Can't go to the bathroom, can't sweat. So all those toxins stay in your body. The living water of Christ, I think that's why so many people who think they're so tough break down and cry. I've seen so many people apologize for, I don't know why I'm crying. I don't want to cry. Dude, your soul is getting detoxed. That's a cleansing. There's nothing embarrassing about that. You can get a headache and dizzy, right? Man, I don't know what I should do. I can't think. I'm so torn up. You're dehydrated spiritually. We have a dull appearance. He says we should shine. He shines. I should shine. I should be shining Jesus. There's lethargy. You know what that is? I don't know. Okay, whatever. When my kids were lethargic laying in the floor, I knew they were sick. That's lethargy. You just don't have the energy to do anything. And then you grow cold. Like your hands stay cold. People who are dehydrated, they come in the hospital and they're shivering. And it's like 102 degrees outside. Do you hear this in the spirit? We grow cold. And then here's the thing. In severe cases, it can cause brain damage. You just can't even think any other way than how you're thinking. But God can heal all these symptoms. So it's still in the heart of a believer. We just need to leave the things of the world and hook back up with the things of God. So here we are. I just want to read a couple more scriptures to you. Exodus 4:9. This is the Old Testament. We're studying in the Old Testament. We're studying these rivers. We're studying abundant life. It's going to give life to everything where the river flows. That physical water that he came, that came out of the Garden of Eden and went into four, and four represents the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and you and me. He's provided. From one source comes everything that we need. It's provided from him. We're included in it. So from that flow, we get in. But he says in Exodus 4:9, he went to Moses and he said, you're going to touch that water and it's going to become blood. I want to tell you something. That was a foreshadowing that it's only through the blood that we're going to have our victory. Man. But it did not affect those who believed in God. It was only detrimental to those who did not. People who do not want to believe in God do not want to hear what you have to say. Stop arguing with them. You're wasting your breath. Pray for them that the same Holy Spirit that speaks to you and me will speak to them. And I guarantee you he will. There's this saying from a book, Steve, you may remember, but it said, the truth will set you free, but first it'll make you miserable. Because if you don't want to get in agreement with it, you're going to want to disagree, right? But it's there to set you free. Then in Revelation 16:12, when the sixth angel comes at the end times and opens their seal, the Euphrates River is still spoken of in Revelation in 16:21, and it says that the Euphrates River is going to dry up, and when that dries up, the kings and the kingdoms are going to suffer and know that it was because they didn't trust in God. Whatever comes from the throne room of God, there's going to be a time. He's given us all these opportunities. He's still going to give opportunities. Guys, the world can get worse. Some of you think it can't. So did people in the 50s, the 70s, and the 90s. The world can get worse. You're going to see where pedophiles, it's going to be legal. It's going to come. Because the world is wicked. These things are going to come, but our prayers and our belief can stop them, yes. But what are we praying for? A bigger house? I'm not against it. I'm praying for my daughter to have a big house. She got 7 kids and 1 bathroom and 3 bedrooms. Dear Jesus, give her a bigger house. Yes. I'm not from a third world country. I'm not digging holes in the ground to pee and then cover it up and go dig another one. And I've been in those homes in Colombia. But here's the thing. What if we began to pray for people that the living water from the throne of God, Lord, before this dries up, before we pollute it until it's unrecognizable, keep that flow coming, Lord, so that it's so forceful, nothing that the devil, nothing that the world's culture puts in it can stop the pureness of who you are and what you want to do for us. Because that's what he wants to do. So I just want to tell you, with the water, the living water of God, you don't have days where you can water and you can't. It's all the time. And it's free. You're never going to get a bill from the living water of God. You're never going to have a shortage where you have to hoard it up. You know, well, I'm going to pray for 5 hours today to make up. No, you don't have to hoard it up. The flow will come. The toxins will go. You will hear the Lord. Now, yes, by a show of hands in this room, who will tell me, you know, there was a period where I did not serve God. I was dry, but the minute I came back to him, the flow came. Thank you, because it's true. He's not looking. Listen, if I pay my water bill, they don't come around there and condemn me for how I used it. And I want to tell you, little Bernice Van Zandt, 93-year-old, she washed 1 washcloth in a full load. And I'm like freaking out by it. But they don't come to my house and say, that's bad, don't do it. It's paid for, the flow continues. Use water safety, just second line there. But here's a thought for you. You're never going to be in drought unless you give in to doubt. If you don't believe that God can flow through you or through someone else, he won't. God's not a rapist. He's not going to come and be intimate with someone that doesn't want him. But I want you to know this. We're in here tonight because we want him. The river will flow through you, and it will flow to you from the throne room where it's pure. God doesn't have a hidden agenda with you. The agenda is clear. He came to set us free. He came to set the captive free. Whatever it is that I'm bound by, if it's fear, if it's doubt, if it's reports from the world, if it's the news, if it's the doctor, if it's the bank account, whatever it is, I'm telling you, I have peace with God. And yes, there are times I just cry it out. Today I'm just, you know, like, where did this come from? And I just go in to hug Shelly's neck. She just whispers in my ear, peace over you today. I was like, thank you. Listen, none of us are going to get it all right, but we should be flowing in the river where the pollutions come out and the teachings of the world. And I want to tell you, I'm here tonight, and I mean this with a full heart. We've got to pray for other people who are not praying for themselves. We've got to call out for the people who are lost. We've got to believe and want them to be saved. We shouldn't want them to burn in hell. That's the way of the world. Just go to and burn in. We don't want that. We want every person to be saved. Why? Because why would I want something for someone else that God has withheld from me? Because every time I feel justified in how mad I am at somebody and how hurt I am by them, I always hear him say this to me. Would you like for me to treat you the way that you want me to treat them? No. Let's get in agreement on this. Let's let this flow. Let's let this toxin come out of you. Let's let you be healed in the flow. Because there's healing, not just for your emotions, but for your body. How many people know that many diseases in the kidneys are because you don't drink enough water? I was with a man in the hospital who had a kidney stone that was so big they'd take one of these sonic things and tried to blast it, but they knew that if he tried to pass it, it would literally shred, you know, the urethra, the little line that goes out, right? Because it would look like one of those spurs you find in the yard. And literally, it was almost the size of a dime. Okay? So the doctor comes in. This is like this guy's third surgery. But I'm listening. I want you to hear this. When other people are in trouble, you need to listen and learn from them. Because all wisdom's good. You don't have to go through something. If you're willing to listen and learn it through the word or through someone else's testimony, you don't have to go through it. You have wisdom. God's given us that ability. So the surgeon comes in, and he's got one of those 2-liter soda bottles. And he walks in, and he slams it down on the tray in the room. And I'm like, you know. And he said, you see this? And he said, yes. He said, I want you to drink 3 of these every day. And he said, I'm not going to do another surgery on you in 6 months. This is ridiculous. You're just not drinking your water. And the guy goes, nope, don't like water. He said, learn to like it or suffer. I was like, okay. You know, listen, we shouldn't wait for a physical doctor to tell us what the word of God has already said. So we're going to come in and we're going to trust God. And not only are there no water restrictions, but you can use the word of God and the spirit of God more than Sunday and Wednesday night. You can find him anytime you want him. My best time with God, seriously, is in the car. Now, I'm going to have to go erase all my things on my phone because if anybody gets it, y'all are going to try to listen to it. But if I get a song or a thought or something, I'll hit that little record button so I don't lose it because I will. And I'll be like, oh, God, that's really good. And then I'm like, oh, I'm at the church. How did that happen? Y'all be scared. Don't drive when you see me. But it's because my conscience is down and he can talk to me because I'm listening. Tonight, you have the ability to get in agreement with God. And I'm just going to ask you simply this. Do you have the signs of spiritual dehydration tonight? You're getting lethargic. The toxins aren't coming out. You feel like you're growing cold. I want you to stand with me tonight. I've asked Mike to sing a song for us tonight. And I want you just to take a minute and just close your eyes, and let's just let the Holy Spirit speak to us right now. There is nobody in this room that the Holy Spirit does not want to speak to. When Jesus was on the cross and they stuck the spear in because they wanted him to die so they could move forward with the day's plans, the Bible says that water came out with the blood. And medical science says that's a sign that the heart has burst. I want to tell you, wherever you are tonight, the heart of God is bursting for you. Because he has created you to love you. And whatever you've done, there is forgiveness. And whatever depression, whatever thing that the enemy's put in your way to pollute the pure love of God, tonight is the night that God can roll that off. And I want to ask you tonight, if you need Jesus Christ in your heart, I just want you to lift your hand. Nobody's going to call you out or nothing. Yes, you're making decisions for Christ tonight. You're making decisions that are going to change your life. And you've got witnesses to testify to it. Tonight, if you've known him, but you feel like you're growing cold and you're getting dehydrated and you're missing out on the movement of the Spirit of the living water of God, and what's coming out of your heart is not face to face with him, but it's running from him, and you want to run back to him, would you just lift your hand right now? Yes, I'm telling you guys, God is doing something sovereign in here tonight that the enemy cannot stop. And if there are things that God is speaking to your heart and you're just afraid to do them, you've gotten so caught up in fear and doubt that it's left you in the drought, let's believe God and get it out. You with me? Let's all lift our hands tonight. Let's just begin to trust the Lord. Nobody's recording this. Nobody's taking a picture. You're not going to hear about it later, but I'm going to tell you the truth. You'll regret it later if you don't get in the flow, because the enemy will use that against you too. Right now, Father, I'm just asking you to move in. Let's all pray this prayer together. Jesus, I accept you as the Lord of my life. I want you to flow through me, Holy Spirit. I'm glad that you came, and I need you, and I receive you tonight, Lord. And Father, I'm just asking you to replenish me. God, I feel like I'm growing cold. My mind is dizzy. God, I want you right now to settle me and bring life and life abundant. God, this is important, guys. I do not want to exist. I want to live. And I want to live an abundant life in you. And I need something bigger than me to do it. Now I'm going to pray over you right now. Father, I pray courage over those who've made these decisions tonight to pick up the word and to begin to read, and you will understand. Father, I'm asking right now for those who came in weary and unsure and weary from having to be God, to be released tonight to let you be God. I pray right now, Lord, that the sweetest rest is going to come on people in this room. I pray right now that the Spirit of God is going to flow, and the same Spirit that baptized Jesus, not just with the water, but with the Spirit when he came down and said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased," that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that is living in you tonight, will bring you peace and resurrection over these dry, dead places, and life will come from it. In the name of Jesus, take courage, take confidence. God is for you, not against you. And Lord, we just give you praise for this tonight in Jesus' name. Can you just say, "Lord, I believe"? Guys, I'm telling you, there's a powerful thing happening, and it won't stop. It will not stop. So don't think that God doesn't want you. He does. And now I'm just going to tell you this. Once a month, we have a baptism, and it's really simple. You just get baptized in front of everybody. If you've never been baptized, I encourage you to do it. It is an outward sign to the enemy when you go under the water that you are being you're dead in your sins, and you're being resurrected in new life in Christ. And he encourages us to do it. Why? Like communion. These are things that you can say, you know, I need to remember him. When you've been baptized, you can say to the enemy, "That's not me anymore. I left that. I'm different. I'm changed." It gives you something physically that you can say to speak life over yourself, the same way when we take communion. And one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen is a whole family being baptized together. And at Christian Center, we allow the father, who is a priest of the home, to baptize the family. and we'll teach you how and all that stuff. But if that's something you're interested in, you really should call the church office and do it. It's a blessing, and I believe it will make a difference in your life. So I love you. God bless you. Don't forget that God is for you. Amen. Next week, we'll talk about the tree in the garden.